Once upon a time, a supernatural being who loved the world so much, took on our DNA and became one of us. He walked among us, taught us, cared for us, walked on water, brought one of us back from the dead, and then ascended into the heavens. You know the story well, and his name was Klaatu. Klaatu. Well, yes. He is the central figure in the box office hit this Christmas, The Day the Earth Stood Still. It's a remake of the 1951 classic, which is one of the best sci-fi movies of all time. Klaatu, pictured here, is an alien. He comes to Earth to save the world, ostensibly, from the brink of war in the 1951 original, rolling forward to an environmental catastrophe in 2008. He's a representative of an alien race that went through drastic evolution to survive its own climate change. Klaatu, played by Keanu Reeves, comes to Earth to assess whether humanity can prevent the environmental damage they have inflicted on their own planet. Klaatu himself already has a rather negative opinion of humans, and in the end the aliens decide to intervene preemptively without any warning and wipe out the human civilization so that the other races and species can survive. Well, if you've seen the film or just the trailers, you will know that swarms of microscopic beings, insects or robots or both, are sent forth to bring about the apocalypse, shredding everything from giant sports stadiums to moving vehicles. One of the fascinating things about the original film is that Klaatu was obviously a Christ-like figure. He went by the name of Carpenter. He mingled among regular people, he died and came back to life, and he professed belief in the Almighty Spirit. You could get away with that in 1951. In the remake, the religious parallels are rather more subtle. He raises someone else from the dead after killing him. He never dies himself, he never goes by the name Carpenter, and he talks about how the universe will transform people when they die. Well, in the original film, Klaatu represented a kind of ideal, a vision of what humans could become. And our survival depended on becoming like him. In the remake, on the other hand, our survival depends on bringing the alien down to our level and making him more like us. That may or may not have much theological significance, but it does say something about how our culture has changed in the last 5 decades. Well, the verdict? The human race is destructive. The sentence, the human race will be terminated. If the earth dies, humans die. If humans die, the earth lives, Klaatu says in one scene. Although some would argue there's a green agenda in the remake, the message goes somewhat deeper than that. It's not about so much our destructiveness toward the earth, but about our destructiveness toward one another. Is the human race without hope? Well, this is what Klaatu believes after receiving his colleague's report. And I won't spoil the plot any further. I do encourage you to go and see it and work out what's going to happen next. But the movie does help us to understand why a holy God could and one day will cleanse this world of evil. Klaatu, certainly in the remake, is not a type of Jesus Christ. He is fallen, he's fallible, and he is a representative, rather, of those who believe it's their destiny to use violence to bring about God's judgment on earth today. And I'm sure you can think of several people, maybe just one person, who personifies that conviction, the belief that they have a divine mandate to purify this world of infidels and of evil. It's the man that President George Bush refers to as the evil one, the one that the newspapers call the CEO of Terror Incorporated, the mastermind behind monstrous terrorist attacks in recent history, Nairobi and Dar es Salaam in 1998, New York and Washington in 2001, Madrid in 2004, London 2005, Algiers 2007, and probably Mumbai 2008. Is this the message of the film for us today? Well, if bin Laden represents the most wanted man in the world, what on earth would Jesus say to him and perhaps those who remade this film? If we could listen in on a one-to-one between Jesus, the most needed man in history, and bin Laden, the most wanted man in history, what would Jesus say? Well, here's a suggestion. I can think of three words that Jesus would use. The first, I believe, is turn. Turn. It comes as no surprise Jesus might say, turn. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked, says Paul the Apostle. People reap what they sow. Jesus said, those who live by violence will die by violence. I don't think there's any question in anyone's mind what Osama bin Laden deserves. He deserves to be sentenced for his crimes against humanity. And unless something happens between now and the end of his life, that's exactly where he's headed. There was a US Marine bumper sticker, put it this way. It said, it's God's responsibility to forgive bin Laden. It's our responsibility to arrange the meeting. There's no question what bin Laden deserves. But while his death would make many happy, would it make God happy? If bin Laden represents all that is the most wicked in this world, what would please God the most? Well, we don't have to speculate, because several times in Ezekiel, God says this, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn from your evil ways. It's the same message in the New Testament. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. So the first thing that Jesus might say to Osama bin Laden, as he says to us tonight, is turn away from your evil ways. Second word, trust. Trust. I can imagine Jesus visiting bin Laden in his bunker or wherever he is hiding tonight and saying, trust in God, trust also in me. I am your only hope. Many in our society view Jesus as a baby in the manger, in the nativity play, or the great moral teacher, or a social reformer, but they place their trust in something else a little bit higher than Jesus. Maybe it's science. Maybe it's technology. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe not. Maybe it's the military. But none of these will deliver us from evil. So Jesus says to us, I tell you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Make no mistake, God must and will punish sin to maintain his integrity as a just and holy God. And we all can understand that because we're all made in his image. We know instinctively that someone has to pay. When a child is abused, someone has to pay. When someone is injured by a drink driver, we insist the guilty must pay. But the dilemma God has is that the penalty for sin is death, and that's all sin, whether it's bin Laden's or yours, whether it's hidden or revealed, venial or mortal, black or white, it's sin, and sin deserves judgment. Sin separates us from a holy God. That's why Jesus came at Christmas, out of love. He came to die in our place, to take away our sin, yours, mine, and even Osama bin Laden's. That's why the birth of Jesus, the angels proclaimed him as the Savior of the world. So what might Jesus say? First, turn from your evil ways. Second, trust in God, trust in me. Third word, well, tag along. It's one thing more that Jesus might say to bin Laden tonight. Paradise is on a different path to the one you're pursuing. Jesus' disciples were confused about the path to paradise. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The thief comes to kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. God has a purpose for this life, to know him and to glorify him forever. What was it that Jesus commanded most frequently in the Gospels? 20 times he says, follow me, and I will give you a purpose to live for, people to live with, principles to live by, a profession to live out, and a power to live on. God says to each one of us those three words, turn, trust, tag along, become part of the solution to the world's problems and not part of the problem itself. The thought that Osama bin Laden could be forgiven for his sins after all that he's done and become like Jesus may be hard to follow, to swallow. But he won't be the first. The question is whether he'll ever hear the real meaning of Christmas, whether someone will get to share it with him before it's too late. The message of Christmas does not minimize the seriousness of his destructive life. It merely emphasizes the magnitude of God's love and grace. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because it's good news of great joy to all people. Jesus, the most needed person in the world, who came for the most wanted, all of them. Though God has every right to destroy the world and everyone in it, he sent Jesus to rescue as many as possible. The angels traversed the universe to herald him. The Magi traveled hundreds of miles in search of him. And the shepherds walked down the hill to see their Messiah. They wanted to see and meet their Messiah, earnest in their search. In the book of Hebrews, it says God rewards those who earnestly seek him. The King James Version says he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It's a great word, isn't it? Diligently. Are you earnestly seeking him? Are you diligently seeking him? This Christmas, be diligent in your search and experience God's reward. Sins forgiven for the past, eternal life in the future, and a purpose to live for in the here and now. Yes, God rewards those who seek him, not who seek a doctrine or a religion or a system or a creed, and least of all those who believe it's their destiny to cleanse this world of evil by violence. The three words Jesus might say to Osama bin Laden tonight are the three words he would say to you and me. Turn, trust, tag along. The day on which Jesus was born was not the day the earth stood still. But one day it will. One day it will. One day the earth will stand still and every eye will see him. And Jesus will judge the living and the dead. The question is, are we ready? We date our birth by his birth. Humanly speaking, we determine our destiny by recognizing his. Don't settle for a passing knowledge of Jesus this Christmas. His reward, breathtakingly beyond our imagining, goes to those who settle for nothing less than knowing Jesus himself. Turn to him this Christmas. Trust in him this Christmas. And tag along with him in the new year.